Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Happy Thanksgiving! Aren't you glad we're going to have Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is coming. Food's coming, Steve. Food is coming. What do you have at Thanksgiving? Turkey, ham, traditional. I thought you might have something Spanish. You know, I'm not sure. I love Thanksgiving. I love the food. I hate sweet potatoes, but I love Thanksgiving. How many of you like sweet potatoes? Oh, it's sad. How many of you hate sweet potatoes? Oh, God bless you. My uncle made me eat sweet potatoes. My uncle was a staff sergeant, a drill instructor in World War II. And he came to my house, and I always said, I don't want to eat the, you know, I'm a little kid. And I said, my mom said, you're going to eat your sweet potatoes. I don't want to eat my sweet potatoes. And my uncle, and I used to get away with it until my uncle came by. Potatoes. You will eat sweet potatoes. And I said, no, I'm not going to eat. And he made me eat stringy, nasty sweet potatoes. I have a psychological problem. I think it was child abuse. I hate sweet potatoes, but I love Thanksgiving. I love the fact that we still live in a nation. Say amen to this. We live in a nation that still takes time, at least once a year, to go before God and say, thank you, God, for giving us this nation. Say amen to that. Now, I think a lot of the nation doesn't understand that we have this holiday because of the fact that God gave us this nation. We recognize the blessings we have are from God. And I hope you'll take time on Thanksgiving to tell him how much you appreciate him and thank him. Tuesday evening, we're going to have a celebration, a praise night. So come to that. It's a time where we praise the Lord for all that he has done for us. We do it on Tuesday before Thanksgiving because on Wednesday, wives and mothers and husbands are all getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner. And so we do that on Tuesday evening. I hope that you'll come and you'll participate with that. It's a wonderful time of praising him. We'll show you the history. We'll show you a video of the history of Thanksgiving, and then we'll just take time to praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be able to praise God, to be able to meet together and to praise the Lord for all the good things he has given to us. We celebrate Thanksgiving. We love it. This is the holiday season. We're going to be, not long from now, we're going to be celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the time that he came in a manger and was laid in a manger. We remember this. We remember this, that Jesus, when he came, said this about himself. When the disciples came to him, that baby, it's an amazing thing. We hear it and we talk about it, but don't ever get over the amazement that the one that sat in, or the one that was laid in that manger, born in a barn, laid in that manger, was the God of the universe, the eternal God. When the disciples came to him, Philip particularly came to him and said, listen, show us the Father. We want to see God. Show us the Father, and that will suffice us. Jesus responded this way in John chapter 14. He said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now imagine that. Imagine someone looking at you, Brian, and saying, if you've seen me, you've seen God. That's Jesus Christ. And then, Philip must have thought, whoa, this takes on a whole new light. Because the glory of God was concealed to mankind. They didn't see him as anything but a human being. He said, you've seen me. You see the way I act. You see the way I behave. You see everything about me. You've seen the Father. And then he said, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? When Jesus reveals himself to us, oftentimes we don't know who he is. And that's the story we're going to talk about today, because he wasn't just revealed in that manger. He revealed himself throughout history to different individuals. And today we're going to talk about when Moses met Jesus. When Moses met Jesus. And he did meet Jesus. And when we talk about Moses, most people talk about the feast. In fact, the first Thanksgiving feast, if you would, that's recorded in the Word of God. You say, what Thanksgiving feast did they have? They had a feast called the Passover. You remember the story. You remember that God sent Moses down to Egypt and told him that I'm going to send you down to deliver my people. You're going to go down. You're going to deliver my people. When you get there, you're going to meet with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's not going to let my people go. And so because of that, I'm going to send plagues, and I'm going to show my glory through Pharaoh. I'm going to send plagues, and he did. He sent 10 different plagues. He turned first the water of the Nile River into blood, and then there was an infestation of frogs. That's a disgusting thing, waking up in the morning and walking from frog to frog. That's a disgusting thing. Then after the king said, okay, get rid of the frogs tomorrow night, and we'll let you go. Then he said, no, I'm not going to do it. Then God sent gnats. I hate gnats. Gnats are nasty. I think of gnats when you're cleaning fish. If you've ever cleaned fish, gnats come where fish are, and they just hover around, and they're just, and you think, I don't care about the fish, I don't care about anything, I just want to get away from these gnats. The Bible tells us that they've just covered the land. And then there was, after the gnats left, the flies came. And these are nasty. I hate one fly, but just imagine them all everywhere, darkening the sky with flies. And then the livestock dies. All of the Egyptians' livestock die, but the Israelites' livestock stayed alive. Man, now these people are hating the Israelites even more. And then there's an outbreak of boils. All the Egyptians are getting boils because the leadership won't do right, and God's allowing all this to happen to show his glory, that he's in control of all these things. Then there's the pounding hailstorm. Then there were swarms of locusts, and then there was overwhelming darkness. Darkness is a fearful thing. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it was so dark you couldn't see your hands. I've been in caves where you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. When I was in college, I was hitchhiking from one place in Pennsylvania to another place in Pennsylvania, and I was to Brookville, Pennsylvania. It was about a 40-mile trip, and I it was dark, and they dropped me off. I didn't realize why it was so dark. It was dark because there were snow clouds over, and you couldn't see the stars. You couldn't see anything. I was standing outside of this little town called Kentanning, Pennsylvania, and I had my finger out. I'm thinking, Lord, let somebody come. My thumb, I'm hitchhiking. A guy comes by and he picks me up, and I thought, wow, it could never get any darker than it was right here. I got 40 miles, and then I'm going to be in Brookville, and then my future mother-in-law is going to come and pick me up, and I'll be safe. He took me out to a place where there was one street light over my head when I was, and I could see the city of Catania out in the distance, and I'm hitchhiking, and I thought it could never get any darker than this. Then he picked me up. He drove me about 20 miles until there was another fork in the road out in the middle of the wilds of Pennsylvania. And he said, oh, I'm going this way. You're going to be going that way. I said, I am. He said, yes. And so I got out. Now, I'm a tough, that was back years ago. I was a tough, I'm a pretty strong guy. I got out. I had my suitcase with me. And it was so dark, I couldn't see whether I was standing on the road or I was standing on the gravel. I had to reach down and find out where the gravel was. It was so dark, and I didn't realize why it was dark. It was dark because there were snow clouds there. I didn't know if a wolf was coming out to kill. I didn't know what was going on. And I'm a desert boy, you know, and I'm from Las Vegas. There's a lot of lights here, and so I'm out there, and I'm scared to death. It's scary being in the dark. And so I'm out there, and I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. It's a scary thing. There was utter darkness that came. By the way, I made it. Somebody after the service will come up and say, what's the end of that story? I made it. And so there was overwhelming darkness. But then there was one last plague. And that plague was this. God said, okay, now I'm really going to show my glory. I'm going to show that I'm in charge of life and death. And this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to tell every Israelite to go to their front door. I want them to sacrifice a lamb. And I want them to take the blood of that lamb, and I want them to put it on the doorposts and on the top of every one of their doors going into their home. And what I'm going to do that night is I'm going to come, and we're going to go over every home in Egypt. And if there is not blood on the top and on the doorposts of every house, that there's no blood, he said, we're going to go in and I'm going to take the life of the firstborn child in that home. You see, our God is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. Say amen to that. And so he said, I'm going to do that. But he said, listen, you don't have to have your child die. If I see the blood on the doorpost, if I see the blood on the top, then I will pass over you. I really believe that's a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe that because of what it says in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, purge out the old leaven, which was part of the Passover feast, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds, maybe even thousands of eyewitnesses, and then he went back to heaven. Now we get to heaven by coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you died in my place to pay for my sin. Would you please give me eternal life? And he gives us eternal life, our ticket to heaven. It's a wonderful thing. This Passover, this promise. Now, inside every Egyptian house that night, there was mourning, there was grief, there was agony because the Lord had come. But listen, inside of every Israeli house that night, there was rejoicing. There was a feast. There was a party going on. They were rejoicing because the coming of the Lord meant deliverance. They were being delivered from the bondage of Egypt. So it was a Thanksgiving feast. It was a wonderful time. And we could say in this picture, way back in the book of Exodus, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Our whole purpose of this series is to show you that Christ has been working since the very beginning and from before the beginning. We saw that last week. But today, I don't want to just use the Passover to show that truth. I want you to see this. I want you to see when Moses met Jesus. And in order to do that, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, God calls Moses. This is an amazing thing. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to Moses, or allows Moses, maybe we could say it this way, to come to him. In chapter 3, in verse 1, the Bible says, now Moses kept the flocks of Jethro. What a wonderful job. For somebody who was a former prince in Egypt, he has now for the last 40 years been working for his father-in-law out in the desert, taking care of stinky sheep. I have never been around sheep much, but I understand they stink. They are stinky, they're dirty, they're filthy, and that's what he's been doing for 40 years. For 40 years, Moses is 80 years old. He's still living in his father's basement. That's the idea. He's 80 years old, and he's still working for his father-in-law. He's got wife and children. The idea is that his great desire to see the people of Israel freed, which he tried to do on his own 40 years before, that all of that is gone. He's outlived his ambitions. Beyond that, Egypt is 45 miles away. It's gone. It's out. And you say, well, that's 45 miles. That's not long. When you're walking, it is. When you're walking, it's a long way. And Moses is 45 miles away. He's 80 years old. He's been dealing with stinky sheep. He probably stinks himself. Moses has outlived his ambitions. And Now he's out just taking care of his sheep, going through the routine, doing what he's always doing. The Bible says in verse 1, and now Moses kept the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This is strange. I'm watching it. I don't know if you've ever sat and watched a fire, but you watch the fire, and it slowly burns down, and you get some more wood, and you throw it on the fire, and you keep it going, and it burns down, and you put, and he's waiting for this bush to burn. And nothing's happening. It's just on fire. It just keeps going. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? Why hasn't this thing been consumed? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, this is strange. All of a sudden, he hears the voice of God. I don't know what the voice of God sounds like, but I know that every time somebody heard God's voice, they knew it was God. Every time somebody hears the Lord speak, they know it's the Lord. The Bible says, he said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I, I'm here. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses, I want you to get close to me, but don't do it now. You need to take off your shoes, or you might get electrocuted. Maybe we ought to go to this. Maybe I'll just stick right here. He said, Moses, take off your shoes because you're coming to holy ground. We're going to stop right there. We'll continue on in the story, but I want you to see a couple of things. First of all, I want you to see this, that Jesus calls. The Jesus that met Moses is one who calls men. Jesus calls men. Jesus is looking for people who are willing to serve him. He's not looking for perfect people, by the way. Moses, again, he was 80 years old. He is not the guy that you would call and say, hey, I want you to deliver my people. This is Moses, an old guy. He's ready to retire. Some people ask me, if you have a hard time sleeping. I say, no, I don't have a hard time sleeping at all. I can fall asleep like just like that. I go to my bed, I lay down. My wife despises the fact that I can go to sleep at night, just go to bed and go to sleep. And she's like awake for a half hour listening to me snore. I can fall asleep. I tell people all the time, I might be asleep right now. I'm not sure. I don't have a hard, the older you get, the easier it is to just say, it's time to rest. Moses was 80 years old. Moses had been doing the same thing for 40 years. It's time for rest, and yet God called him. Listen, never allow your limitations to question God. He wants to use us. In fact, he wants us to know our limitation. God calls us. He knows all your weaknesses. He knows all your backgrounds. He knows what you can do, and he knows what you can't do, and that's okay because he wants to do something through you. Say amen to that. So God calls Moses. You say, well, could he use me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 through 29, the Bible says this, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise, God doesn't call many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's not that he doesn't call any, but he doesn't call many. But this is what God chooses. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. That just describes Moses. He's out in the wilderness. He's 80 years old. He's been rejected. He's banned. He's a fugitive. And yet God said, I'm going to use you. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are, that no flesh may glory in his presence. God doesn't want you to use, God doesn't want to use a big shot. He wants the glory for what he's going to do in your life. The name Jesus, Jesus calls Moses. You say, where do you see Jesus? Listen, the word Lord in the Bible, whenever it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it means it's the proper name, Jehovah. Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. The Lord waited for Moses. He called Moses, but he waited. I think it's so interesting. He waits for Moses' reply. He says, Moses, Moses, and he waits. He waits for a reply from Moses. God doesn't force you to serve him. God doesn't force himself on you. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, you come to me. You come to me. Now, when Moses began to go to him, we see, first of all, that Jesus calls men. Our God calls us to serve. Number two, I want you to see this, that Jesus is holy. And though he calls you, he will call you with some caution. Jesus is holy. He said, Moses, draw not nigh unto me. Don't come to me. Why? There's a problem in your life. You've got sin in your life. You've got dirt on your feet. And the problem here is this is holy. This is holy ground. God wants his people to stay close to him. But listen, it's uncomfortable getting close to God. It really is. The closer you get to God, the more you sin you see in your life. The closer you walk with him, I tell people this all the time. Look, when you get close to God, you're not going to be criticizing everybody else. Steve, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to see your faults. You say, oh man, I'm dirty. Look at he can see everything about me. Moses was coming to him, and God said, no, wait, you got to get rid of the dirt. You got to get rid of the dirt. I want you to come. But get rid of the dirt first. Take off your shoes. You've been out walking in this world, and if your feet are dirty. So take off your shoes, because this is holy ground. You say, well, how do I get rid of the dirt? I want to go to Jesus. I want to be close to Jesus. We want to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We want to be with him. How do I get rid of the dirt? Simple. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just as Moses took off his shoes so he could go closer to the presence of God, we need to come to God and we need to draw nigh to him. But when we do, according to James, when we draw nigh to God, the Bible says he'll draw nigh to us. He says, however, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw close to God and confess the sin. And the closer you get, you say, well, man, I'm seeing more sin, then just confess it. And you'll wind up not condemning others. You'll wind up confessing continually sin and thanking God for his mercy and what he's done for us. Remember the Pharisee and the publican in the temple? When Jesus saw the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee stood up and said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like these people out here. I'm so thankful that I'm holy and that I've done all these wonderful things. I'm certainly not like Rob Berger. I'm certainly not like, and you name whoever you want. I'm thankful that I'm not like them. But then there was the publican, who was a despised man, who stood at the same place. He bowed himself before God and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says, Jesus said, he heard the publican. He ignored the Pharisee. Wow. We need to come before God confessing our sin, not everybody else's sin. We need to come before God confessing our sin, and then we can draw nigh to him. He is holy. Jesus calls people. Number two, Jesus is holy. Number three, I want you to see this, that Jesus is the only God. Jesus is the only God. Yeah, you can say amen to that. Amen? He is the only God. People say, you know, you can get to heaven so many different ways. The Buddhists go one way, the Muslims go another way, and there's all sorts of different people that believe in all sorts of different gods, and they all get to heaven the same way. No, they all get to hell the same way, because there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Say amen to that. You see, listen to Jesus identify himself. He said in verse 6, he said, moreover, he said unto him, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Well, these guys all lived 400 years before Moses. And he's saying, you know, the guy that met with Abraham, and then the guy that met with Isaac, and the guy that lived with Jacob, you know those? That God? That's who I am. 400 years later, Moses, I'm here with you. This is the God. Remember this, in Hebrews, the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God. He's the God of the living. Jesus is the God of all men. And there's only one way to get to heaven. I'm telling you this. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's not by being religious. It's not by being good. It's not by going to church. It's not by being baptized. The only way you can get to heaven is by coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you are God. I know that you died to pay for my sins and you were buried and rose from the dead for me. And I'm asking you to save me. That's the only way anyone gets to heaven. Say amen to that. We can know we're going to heaven if we recognize Jesus as God. Number four, I want you to see this. I love this. Look at verse 7 and 8. The Bible says this, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Again, there's the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. That's Jesus. And Jesus said, I surely have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I want you to see this. I want you to see that he is not just the only God, that Jesus is the God that answers prayer. Jesus is the God that answers prayer. He saw the affliction of his people. He sees your afflictions. He hears their cry. He knows their sorrows. He said, I'm going to deliver my people. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Our God is a prayer-answering God. Well, that was to the Israelites. That was to them. What about us now? Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 when he was talking about not quitting praying. He said this. He said in Luke chapter 18, and shall not the God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. It might take a long time. God wants you to keep on asking when you don't see the prayer being answered. You just keep on asking, and you just keep on asking, and you just keep on asking. And shall not the God of God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, it takes a long time, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he see you and me praying when he comes? He's saying, listen, God, the same God that heard and answered the cries of his people. And by the way, the idea of crying isn't, it's not that. The idea of crying here is just crying out, just speaking out loud and saying, God, we're asking you for deliverance. Isn't that what Jesus told us to pray? He told us, Lord, let your holy name be manifest. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done through us here in this earth, just like it's done in heaven. Give us this day everything we need to do your will. Forgive us our sins. We forgive those that sin against us. Then he said, pray, lead us not into trials. Keep us from trials and deliver us from evil. The idea is deliver us from satanic attack. That's what he told us to pray. And we're supposed to pray it daily. We're supposed to mean it and pray it daily. You don't have to weep and cry. You just pray it to God on a daily basis. Jesus said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find you praying? When he comes, when the Father finally says to the Son, go get them, will he find you praying? Will he find faith on the earth? That's the question. Listen, Jesus is a God that answers prayer. Say amen to that. So let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. And don't wait till the crisis comes. It was so sad. Throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, Israel forsakes God, and they get themselves involved in sin, and then they get persecuted, and then they cry out to God. And then God delivers them. And then they backslide, and they stop calling out to God. Because when everything's going okay, hey, when you got a paycheck coming in, when the weather's fine, when the family's all healthy, when you're living in a nice house, everything's good. When everything's good, hey, we don't need to call on God because we got it all taken care of. Everything's handled. You know, I don't need to call on God. Don't stop calling on God. When things are going right, keep asking, keep seeking, keep asking him. But I got everything I need. Keep asking him and thank him. When I pray for my meals on a daily basis, I say, Lord, I want to thank you for what you've given me. I want to pray that you'll bless the food. That is, if there's any ptomaine poisoning in any of this stuff, take it out and keep me healthy. That's what you're praying. God bless the food. I don't want to die eating this stuff. Like sweet potatoes. So bless the food, use it to nourish me. And then I always pray this. I always pray, Lord, we pray you'll always supply our needs according to your riches and glory. I don't care how much I have stuff back in the back. I don't care what I've got stored away for you know, the coming apocalypse. I don't care. I'm going to ask God every day to supply my needs according to his riches and glory. Why? Because I don't want to wait till a crisis comes to ask God to deliver me. I prayed for my 7-month-old granddaughter today, for Daisy. I pray that you'll protect Daisy. I pray that she'll live all of her life for you. And I pray you'll give her a godly husband. You say, why do you pray for a godly husband for a 7-month-old? Because I don't want to wait till she's 16 years old and she brings home some weirdo, and then I have to pray that God kills the kid. I don't want to have to pray that. So you pray ahead of time. You pray ahead of time. You see, what happened over and over is the children of Israel would get themselves in trouble, and then God would deliver them, and then they'd stop praying, and then they would then God would have to deliver them, and then they would pray, and they'd seek God. When God's people are praying continually, it keeps you out of trouble. So pray. Pray for your family. Well, what about all the chaos that's going on in the world? Pray that God will protect you in the midst of it. Pray for your family. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Pray, pray, pray. Why? Because Jesus is a God that answers prayer. And we see that in this story. And then we see this, that Jesus is a great provider. We see the next thing. Jesus is a great provider. He doesn't just provide good things. He provides really good things. Look in verse 8 again. It says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, but that not just deliver them out, but to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. He's going to give us good things. But with those good things come some challenges, because look, it says, unto the land, or unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. All of these ites were giant men. They were big people. So he's bringing them out of Egypt, where they're persecuted. He's going to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. The problem is, there's giants in that land. They're big, mean guys. And he's telling them right now, at the very beginning, he tells them, this is going to happen, but it's okay because I'm going to bring you out and I'm going to be with you. So God answers prayer. But I want you to see that God is a provider. God gives us everything we need. He takes them in a land where there's challenges, but he's able to meet the challenges. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, God tells us he'll give us himself, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. God is so good that he didn't just reach out and get something off the shelf and give it to us. He says he gave us himself. Wherever you go, Kyle, he's going with you. Whatever you're going through, he's going through with you. When you face the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and all the other ites in your life, He wanted them there because he wants to show you how to overcome those things. He doesn't want you to fear those things because fear is a lack of faith that he's going to take care of you. You say, will he really give us all things? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, Paul says this. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Think about that. If he was willing to give up his son to die in our place, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? God's willing to give us all that we need to serve him. But when he does, in the midst of that, there will be challenges. Why? To prove our faith. So when we move forward, we win. And God allows the challenges. In fact, he told the Israelites this. He said, when I give you the land, I'm not going to give it to you all at once, because you wouldn't know what to do with it all at once. He said, I'm going to give it to you piece by piece by piece by piece. You're going to conquer one, then you're going to conquer another, then you're going to conquer another, because you'll be able to take care of it step by step. Jesus is a God that answers prayer. Jesus is a God that provides. And then look at verse 10. I want you to see this. He said, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Why didn't God just go down and say, all right, Pharaoh, you're out of here? And why didn't he just do that? Why didn't he just wipe them all out? Why didn't he just, why this whole thing? Well, years later, it made a great movie. But that's not why. Why didn't God just take him? Because God chooses to use men. That's just, again, he says, I'm going to go with you. You're going to go down there. He said, I'm going to send Moses to deliver you. Moses, look at Moses' thoughts. It says, and Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I to deliver these people, that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He might have been thinking, there's a price on my head. I go down there, I'm going to die. This is me. This is Moses. Sometimes when God says, I want you to do something, we think, I can't do that. How can I do that? Satan will give you all sorts of reasons why you can't. Moses was doubtful. Moses was humble. Look in verse 11 again. How should I bring forth the children of Israel? Look at verse 12. And he said, certainly, this is what God said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. He said, listen, Moses, I'm going to use you because not only are you humble, but you're dependent, and I want you to be dependent upon me. Can I tell you this? God is waiting for some of us just to get out of the way so he can use us, so we can say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but you know I can't do this. You know that I don't have this ability. I need you. We've got to remember this, that all we are as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul said it this way. He said, now then, you are ambassadors of Christ. God didn't want Moses going down representing Moses. God wanted Moses going down representing him. You are my ambassador. You are dependent. You know what the Bible tells us this? That Moses didn't even know who God was. That's how ignorant of spiritual things Moses was. Look what it says in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto them, the God of them, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? Then what am I going to tell them? Well, I don't even know who you are. I know you're God, but I don't know who you are. That's amazing. God used this person who was doubtful, who was humble, who was dependent, and who did not even know who he was. And God said, look, I'm changing you now. And you're going to be my ambassador. Before, you were a prince in Egypt. Before, you were something, and you knew you were something. But you realize you're nothing now. You realize that you can't do anything yourself. Paul said it this way. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Say amen to that. That's what God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to say, I'm not going to do anything. Well, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. No, he wants you to say, God, I'm willing to do anything you want me to do and be dependent upon him. Are you willing to serve where God calls you? Are you willing to do what God calls you to do? I want you to see this, lastly, that Jesus is the ever-present Savior. Jesus is the ever-present Savior. He identifies himself when God says, when Moses says to him, who are you? God said, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. The idea there is he is the ever-present God. When Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am, before Abraham was, I am, he said, I'm the ever-present God. Your Lord, your Savior is the ever-present God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the only way. I am the truth, the only truth. By the way, it's not your truth and my truth. How foolish. All we have, oh, if that's your truth, you believe that. If you believe that 2 + 3 = 6, then that's your truth. That's stupidity. Can you say amen to that? That's foolishness. Oh, if you believe the sky is gray, then it's gray. Even if it's blue, it's gray. It's your truth. We live in a world of stupid philosophy. That's a good term for it, you understand? It's wokeness is stupidity embraced. And you need to understand that. It's just absolute foolishness. And where does the foolishness come from? When we ignore the truth of God, the Bible says God turns us over to a reprobate mind so we can't determine between what is right and wrong. That's stupidity. Thank you, Pastor, for telling us that. We're so glad to know that. Anyway, so you need to understand that in our world. Jesus said, I am the way, only one way to get to heaven. I am the truth, and I am the life. Peter later in Acts chapter 4 said this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the truth. We are saved by the grace of Almighty God. You listen, you serve a God who loves you. Jesus Christ is your God. You don't have to worry about what's going on in the world. You don't have to fret about what's going on. All you have to do as a child of God is surrender to him. If you have never asked him to save you, then you need to ask him to save you. If you're depending upon your good works to get you to heaven, throw those good works away. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ because he's the only way to get to heaven. And if you're saved, stop depending on your abilities. Just start asking God, what do you want me to do? Listen, Jesus called Moses to deliver Israel. What is he calling you to do? Listen, Jesus is holy. He wants you to live a holy life. Jesus is the only God there is. If you're going to get to heaven, it's only through him. If you're going to succeed in anything, it's only through him. Jesus is the God that answers prayer. If you're going to see God do something, you need to be one who prays and ask him to work. Jesus is the one that will provide. If you need something, go to him. Jesus is the one who uses people, and he wants to use you. You've just got to be willing. You've got to be available because he's not going to force himself on you. And Jesus is your ever-present Savior, and he'll be with you. Wherever he sends you, he'll go with you. So you don't have to worry, and you don't have to fear the darkness. Just go with Jesus. Father, I pray you'll help us to take the truth that we see in this message. I pray that we will follow you. I pray that we will be the men and women of God you want us to be. I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved and they've been trusting their good works or their baptism or their church membership or their Christian heritage, I pray they'll put their faith and trust in you today. Ask you to save them. I pray you'll give them eternal life. God, I pray you'll work today during this moment of invitation. If there's somebody that's not saved, they'll get saved. I pray that Christians will determine to be used by you. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.